Jason Lloyd, he's from The Athletic. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Jason.
You are ridiculous.
I am, in every sense of the word, friend. Let me ask you this as we start things off. Jameis Winston, it looks like he's going to start on Sunday. Could he save the jobs of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, or do you think they don't need saving?
This is a very... It's a very nuanced question to start with.
Yeah, I'm a nuanced man.
Frankly, let's back up. I don't know this, okay? Like, I haven't been told this. This is just what I'm inferring. I don't think DTR is healthy because I believe if DTR is healthy, he would be playing Sunday. So I think that they're making the decision that the finger's too bad he can't play. Because I don't understand what Jameis gets you with playing Jameis. The season's over. It's a lost season. You have to figure out what you have in the kid. You know what Jameis is.
You know what it does? So, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
And then I will, because we do love you, all jokes aside. What Jameis could prove is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, like, hey, this ain't me, guys. Look what he's able to do. Because he's not a mobile guy, at least, you know what I mean? He's not running all over the place. Like, DTR can take off and do all these things. And I think the offense could look very Kevin Stefanski on Sunday. And if he throws for 300 yards on the Ravens defense, or like 250, and they're in the game, or they win the game, for crying out loud, I think Kevin could just stand there on the podium and go, here you are. Here we are, just wanting to show everybody, and then walk off if he wanted to. I think it could be that level, considering we were all trying to imply that last year. Nobody really wanted to, because we knew that we were going to have Deshaun Watson back, and now we don't know if we're going to have Deshaun Watson back ever again for this football team, at least on the field. And if Jameis Winston goes out there and they can move this offense along, I think that there's going to be a big change coming about how people think about the head coach, because right now there's a lot of people who would like to make a change in the fan base.
No, I get it. But I just think a lot of people hit their head and have amnesia, because you just said it. They showed that last year. Like, look at the difference last year. And if you were paying attention, they were going back to the Kevin offense already last week. They were in 13 personnel. And I meant to look this up, and I haven't yet. They had to be in 13 personnel more Sunday than they had been all year. There was three tight ends on the field. Deshaun was under center, and they were running play action. That was the Kevin offense. And whatever nonsense you had seen the first however many weeks was to me, at least, it looked like, I mean, maybe you guys disagree, it looked to me like it was going away. Like, Kevin was saying, we're going back to doing what I'm comfortable doing, and enough of this crap. I hear what you're saying, and if Kevin's coaching for his job, maybe Jameis is the answer, but I don't know. I mean, what's Jameis going to buy you? Two more wins than DTR? Like, DTR can run Kevin's offense. He's been in it for 2 years now. You know, he understands it. He knows. And I just think, at this point, if you're going to get anything out of this year, at least know what you have in Dorian. And the answer is most likely he's a backup, right? Like, most likely. And he can't stay healthy. And if he can't stay healthy, that is the answer. Like, he's a backup. Like, you know, I thought he looked in Denver last year like he was starting to figure some things out. And I was really excited to see more of him. And then he gets a concussion, he goes down. And then obviously Flacco comes in, and we all know what happens after that. But then he comes in during garbage time in Houston, plays five snaps, dislocates his hip, out for the year. And then you see it again Sunday. He can't stay healthy, hurts his finger. Now he's out again. And if he continues to play with his hair on fire like this, and he's playing with really exposing his body, he should never be off of his feet. Why is he 6 feet in the air being pinwheeled around? Like,
because he wants to entertain us? That was entertaining.
That has to stop. Like, he's going to get himself killed. He's never going to be the answer. And again, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying more than likely he's not. But you have to know that definitively by the end of the season. And here is a perfect opportunity. You have 10 weeks to figure it out. And if he is the answer, great. That's wonderful. And if he's not the answer, bad enough, you're going to be in position to go get the answer. And I'll hope who you hope to be is the answer the next time around. So for them to be starting Jameis tells me Dorian's not healthy. Otherwise, I think it would be Dorian.
All right, Jason Lloyd with us. What'd you make of the scene on Sunday once Watson goes down? Some fans in the stands reacted, and then afterwards we had a number of players that did not enjoy that experience.
The thing that I didn't like, I don't want to make the fans look like the bad guys in this and make the fans look like the victims, because the fans are not the victims. And so that I get why the players were had Deshaun's back. Like, totally get it. And you know, I said the other day, fans have no relationship with Deshaun, obviously, and you root for the team. You don't root for the player a lot of times. And obviously, a lot of people never wanted him here in the first place. And we know that whole story. And I'm not condoning booing a guy who's hurt. I'm not condoning that. But I'm just saying, when Miles says he's been a model citizen, when Jameis says he's putting his life on the line, it's like, okay, guys, like, take a breath here. You want to defend your guy, defend your guy. I don't fault you in the least for wanting to defend your guy. But let's have some sense of reality of what truly has gone on here. And so that sort of rubbed me the wrong way when those guys said that. But for the most part, you want to defend your guy, defend him. You're with him every day. You have a relationship with him. You understand the rehab that he went through coming back from the shoulder. You understand what lies ahead for him again now with the Achilles. I have no issue with them defending him. But those things, I just sort of rolled my eyes at and thought, come on now. And I don't like painting this as the shame on you fans when the fans have put up with a lot of crap for 20 years and for the last few years.
Well, so given that, you know, we were wondering, is this just going to be, you know, a couple days in the news cycle when it comes to the fans versus the players, and Deshaun Watson is part of that because obviously there's a lot there as well. Or do you think there's going to be a lasting impact? Like, people are flocking to social media, kind of bragging about, you know, canceling their tickets for next year. I mean, do you think this is just a moment in time we'll get over, or do you think the Haslams have some damage repair here?
No, it's a moment in time. It's everybody's emotional. Everybody's upset. You know, I mean, it's October and the season's over. Like, people are pissed, and I don't blame them. Like, I get it. But, you know, by the time the draft rolls around, will everybody be talking quarterback, or what are they going to do with the pick? And you know, maybe draft party season again, just like the good old days. And, you know, next year it'll be as fervent as ever. I just think it's just an emotional moment in time. I really don't think there's going to be any lasting impact off of it.
Jason Lloyd, The Athletic, with us on the show. Do you believe that Deshaun Watson has played his last down for the Cleveland Browns?
Yes. Yeah, I wrote that after the game for a number of reasons. Number one, the severity of the injury, the timeline. You can't possibly go into next season believing he's your starting quarterback. Like, how could you do that when he's probably not coming back? Like, let's say that was the plan. He wouldn't be back until October anyway, you know, October, November. You know, Aaron Rodgers did whatever he did with the voodoo magic to try and come back quicker and all that. It's a year recovery. So number one right there. Number two, this is a huge injury to come back from. We all know that. It's the second major one because he's already coming back from the debilitating shoulder injury last year that there really wasn't a lot of proof of how a guy can return. On top of all that, he has never played like a franchise quarterback in the time that he's been here. On top of all of that, if you're him, why would you want to come back? Given what happened Sunday, and again, I'm not trying to shame the fans here. Like, just put yourself in the shoes for a second. You're on the field. You blew out your Achilles. You know, it's a low point for you. You're on the field crying, and whether it's 20 people, whether it's 1,000 people, whether it's 10,000 people, people are cheering. If I'm like, screw it, you know, you guys never wanted me here, you never embraced me. He already talked about that in August, and I ripped him for it then. We don't have to relitigate that whole thing. But he knows he was never really welcome here, never really wanted here. And to me, Sunday was probably and I understand, like, you know, it's a contract. He's got 2 years left on it. They got a lot of stuff to figure out because this is about as worst-case scenario as you can get. But if I'm him, I wouldn't want to come back and play here. So, yeah, I think that's it for a ton of reasons, both on the field and off the field. I think that was the last you'll ever see him in a Browns jersey.
Jason, there has been a lot of discussion about what's next for coach and GM and if they can survive this. We know normally how this works, not just in the NFL. We know how it works in Cleveland when things go off the rails. I told Ken yesterday, I thought Stefanski has looked really, really profoundly weak this year, and I think it's really unfortunate because I think he has been a really good Cleveland Browns head coach. But a lot of the stuff, you know, there any other coach would have benched Deshaun Watson before it got to this anyway, given just the numbers. I mean, they were historically bad in modern NFL history quarterbacking. DTR finding out on Friday that, hey, he might be in some packages, so maybe be ready. That to me is just... not how a normal functioning organization works that late in the week. Just the fact that it seems like he can't even have the offensive coordinator he wants. It seems like the Van Pelt move was forced on him. And I said, we are 5 years into this career as the head coach of the Browns. He's had two coach of the years, and he doesn't seem any more powerful today than when he walked through the door. How did it get to be this way for a head coach that's had this success?
I can't disagree with anything you said. I agree with everything you just said. And Kevin looks totally broken this year. And this is a guy who just won coach of the year in January. And look at him now. And it, like, he's aged 25 years in 6 months. And by the way, Dorian didn't find out Friday. It was later than Friday when he found out he was like,
whoa, wait a second. Wait a minute. What are you hearing?
Well, I wrote after the game that, you know, the players had a walkthrough Saturday at the stadium. And when they go through their walkthrough, they do the short yardage package. And at the short yardage package, Deshaun came out to run the short yardage package. And players were looking around going, okay, well, this is new. Like, why are you out here? Because it was always Jameis as a short yardage quarterback. So he still didn't know as of Saturday. Like, and yeah, I had kind of heard that throughout the week. They had told Dorian to be ready, but they didn't actually tell him he was going to be the backup until over the weekend.
So what on earth would that be the reason? Well, I'm asking you to answer questions the Browns should answer, but that doesn't make sense for any team.
It doesn't make any sense.
At any level.
Because Dorian ran scout team all week. So he's running the Bengals plays all week. And then he's going to be your backup quarterback. And Kevin said, you know, really the backups don't get reps with the starters, but you would still think under the circumstances that you would want this kid, particularly being as young and inexperienced as he is. He had a little bit of experience last year. He had a few games last year, but you would think that you would want him as prepared as possible to be the backup quarterback. Obviously, you don't expect to happen what happened, but
can I ask you to speculate, Jason? Can I ask you to speculate? Not report, speculate here?
We'll see what the speculate is. Go ahead.
Do you think he was told, Kevin Stefanski was told, that was going to be a lineup change?
No. No, and that is all speculation, but no, I don't think he was told that. I do think that the leash was tightening on Deshaun, and if they were going to finally pivot away from him, it was going to be Dorian and not Jameis. I do believe that, and that's speculation. Not that big of a leap. They just promoted him to QB2. Because, again, you know what you have in Jameis, and players love him and teammates love him, but if you're a head coach, can you really trust him? Can you trust him with your organization? I don't know. Like, you know, he's changing plays to get guys touchdowns at the end of blowouts. That's not a good look for the organization. And I get why teammates would love him. I totally get it. Like, but if you are running an organization, if you're a GM and a head coach, do you really trust Jameis Winston to be your quarterback? I don't know that you can say definitively 100% yes. So I think that they want to get a look at Dorian. And then he goes out and hurts his finger. And again, if he can't stay healthy, then that's the answer. Then he's not the guy. And he's probably not the guy anyway, but you at least have to know that you know that you know by the end of the season. We absolutely positively need a QB1. And that's why you can't play him in like December. He has two or three good games and you're like, well, I don't know. He kind of showed something. Excuse me. No. You got 10 games or however many you have once he's healthy. Play him.
What do you think of Mike Vrabel being on the sidelines on Sunday?
I'm not going to read too much into it. Like, I think it's all hands on deck, and there's a lot of coaches working a lot of hours trying to figure this thing out and get this thing on track. He's been in games before, right? Or am I making that up? Is that the first time? I don't think that was the first time he's been on the sideline, is it?
That's the first time I think the broadcast is focused on him. I had not seen him, and I had heard various things behind the scenes about how much he had actually been in Berea. You know, we had asked some players, and they said, yeah, he's been there sometimes. Like, hasn't been an everyday thing.
I've seen him around the building, for sure. Like, you know, we're walking in to do locker room interviews, and he's walking the other direction. Like, I've for sure seen him around the building. I haven't paid that close attention to him. I don't want to say one way or the other. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's just everybody's trying to get this thing turned around, and he's obviously a great football mind, and lean into that and see what he sees, see what he feels, and glean from him what you can.
Was the Guardian season successful?
Yeah. American League Championship Series, you know, in April, would you have signed up for that? Yes, of course you would have.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to ask
you. It's always frustrating when you lose, always. But yeah, it was 100% a success. I thought Stephen Vogt was phenomenal his first year on the job. You know, people can be upset about some of the decisions he made in the postseason. I get it. You know, it's kind of nutty. Giancarlo Stanton has 8 postseason hits against the Guardians, and they're all home runs. Like, that's insane. But he also struck out 5 times in the series. So, you know, I probably, you know, Zach and I had the conversation about, do you walk him there? You know, you can nitpick stuff like that. But the way that he handled the whole entire year, the players absolutely bought into him. Like, when I talk to players, you can tell when it's just, this is what I have to say about my coach or manager on the record, so this is what I'm going to say, but I don't really mean it. And you can tell when it's heartfelt and sincere. And with these guys, it was heartfelt and sincere, what they were saying about Stephen Vogt. Like, it was a grand slam of a hire. They absolutely got it right. They nailed it. I think Stephen Vogt's going to be here for a very long time. And we'll see. And we'll see if they can build off this or not.
Real quick, like 30 seconds away.
Yeah.
The Cavs start the season with the core four. Do they finish the regular season with the same core four?
That's not a 30-second answer.
Yes or no?
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. Doesn't mean it'll be that way again next year, but I think they want to – you know, Kenny's here to get to figure out how to make this work. Darius' trade value was at the floor over the summer. And they'll see. They'll see if they can make it work, but I think they'll give it all of this year to see – and give them the postseason run, and then reevaluate after the season if it really works or not.
Okay. Jason, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right. See you guys.
Lace and Joyd on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You asked about Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He had said also that...
He called it malpractice.
Well, did he? Did he say that, or I asked? I asked that question of whether it was malpractice. I don't know. I don't remember if Jason said it.
I've been writing
a lot of things down lately. I'm not sure.
I don't know how it could be anything other than that. What happened last week?
Well, there were people who yesterday were saying, "Well, Ken, like it's his job to." Yeah, but it's their. They were saying it's Dorian Thompson Robinson's job to have himself ready. I'm going, "Yeah, but they're coaches. You have to do what you can to get him ready. If you do indeed plan on playing him." You can't just put him in that situation and he doesn't know. Here's Jason just moments ago about that.
Kevin looks totally broken this year. And this is a guy who just won Coach of the Year in January. And look at him now. And it, like, he's aged 25 years in 6 months. By the way, Dorian didn't find out Friday. It was later than Friday when he found out he was like...
Wait a second. What are you hearing?
You know, the players had a walkthrough Saturday at the stadium. When they go through their walkthrough, they do the short yardage package. And at the short yardage package, Deshaun came out to run the short yardage package. And players were looking around going, okay, well, this is new. Like, why are you out here? It was always Jameis is a short yardage quarterback. So he still didn't know as of Saturday. Like, and yeah, I had kind of heard that throughout the week. They had told Dorian to be ready, but they didn't actually tell him he was going to be the backup until over the weekend.
So that's Jason. The wheels are coming off. They ain't shaky about anything. This is going back to old hat here. I'm remembering. Yeah, the wheels are off.
They're off.
They're like me
out on I-90 hoping that somebody can come help them put the wheels back on.
This is old hat now. I've been through this before. You know where this goes. That disturbs me. Because I'm like, well, Jameis, if he comes in and he conducts the offense... And it looks like you're not going back to Joe Flacco land. I just don't believe that that's possible for lightning to strike twice. I don't know. He is a very motivating person. Maybe he can. Maybe Jameis can lead him. But you've already lost 6 games, so you're not going to the playoffs. And the only thing you would probably be doing is playing yourself out of maybe the number 1 or number 2 draft spot. And since New England's terrible... maybe they would not take a quarterback. I'm not sure. That's a different conversation for a different day. But for Jameis, maybe Jameis can help you win some games. But this is being said here. You brought up, was he forced to make this decision? How does a guy who wins Coach of the Year twice lose power?
Why did it take so long?
How does he lose power?
Why did it take so long for him to get extended? Why did he get extended at the exact same time as... His colleague, the guy that I'm not sure what the hierarchy is in that front office between him and the GM. Like, I think these are all questions I did ask in the offseason. They did surprise me, but we were basking in the glow of a playoff run to really dwell on it. But I did find it a little peculiar.
It's not making sense. And I know everybody, like, people bring up Bill Callahan, and I miss Bill Callahan too. But it's, remember, you were always going to lose Bill Callahan at some point. His son was going to be a head coach. It's the natural order of things. You can't hold him hostage. I still hold them accountable for who they've hired after. You have to find proper replacement. Like, if Gerard Mayo ends up being a mess in New England, well, you it's not where you just let Bill Belichick go. I can understand at some point these things have to happen. Who did you replace him with? So who did you replace Bill Callahan with? Did you replace him with someone who knows what they're doing, or did you replace him with a guy who I don't know if he knows what he's doing or can get these guys going? Same thing with the running back situation. Same thing with the wide receiver situation. Same thing with a lot of situations on this coaching staff.
I won't crush them for...
I'm asking questions. I'm not crushing yet because I think we're starting to see...
The offensive line thing, I mean, you look at who's available, you go through a hiring process, and you also utilize your network that you have. And I think overall, in the Stefanski era, they've had some of the best coaching staffs that we've had in Cleveland in our lifetime. So I'm
then
not going to...
Why can't they get lined up right?
Oh, I think maybe they made a bad hire. I mean, they might have made a bad hire, but I'm not crushing them because their processes in the past have led to, I think, pretty fairly good hires.
Okay.
Right?
Historically, yes. But during that time, remember, how much changeover did they have with the coaching staff? Was it significant every year? Because I think you brought up the question. You're going, how did they make the playoffs in 2020 and no one wants to hire these guys off this staff? Remember, you said that.
Yeah, I did wonder that, and I wondered if that maybe made the head coach look better because it's like he's responsible for this.
Maybe it did.
But now I heard, like, Nick yesterday was wondering, I don't think he alleged this, but he was wondering what Callahan being gone, if that made, he used the term fraud. I don't think he really meant Stefanski was a fraud, but... I don't think just because you lose your offensive line coach, that means that shouldn't be the end of your team. Like, come on.
He was also an associate head coach.
Yeah, he was
He was the office next door.
Yeah,
where he you
was
bounce stuff
without
off
a
of.
Doubt. Bill Callahan was a factor, and we did shows.
A lot of running game stuff was done through Bill Callahan.
And we did
I'll
shows
right now.
We did shows, and I believe some people on this show did say that we were overestimating the importance of losing Bill Callahan. I was not one of those people. I definitely thought he would be missed.
I just knew you had to do it at some point.
Yeah.
Who do you replace him with? And what you've replaced him with so far isn't that great. And this goes to what you had last week where we talked about not starting. Because we had heard that there were some people before this injury with Deshaun Watson, and this is what kind of, you could tell this is what really irked Daryl on Monday, is that, you know, you're hearing some things where some of the guys aren't very big fans. And it's not, I don't think it's personal or anything. It's just the guy wasn't playing well. And so when you hear some of the defense that comes out, I think it rubs people the wrong way. Players are players. They see themselves there. So I wasn't surprised by that. But you and I had talked about, yeah, now there's leaks there. Well, Jason's saying that the players didn't know till afterwards, not on Friday, about Dorian Thompson. So what is that? What is the procedures? What is the plan here? Like, there are times you just have to do emergency things, and he has to go in there. But that is not a plan. Albert Breer spoke about it yesterday. I got to get this in here real quick because we have the two-second trivia coming up here. Albert Breer was asked, was Deshaun empowered too much by the contract?
I think Deshaun Watson came in here empowered by the contract and a little bit of a broken person. Obviously, like, what he was accused of is awful, and to what degree he's guilty of that, I don't think very many people know for sure. Regardless of what you think about that, I do think to some degree he was really messed up by everything. Like, he comes in, I think, messed up. I don't think he was in the right frame of mind to be the football player that he was before. Now, looking back on it in retrospect, I think one of the things that led him to having great success in Houston was how tough the coaches were on him there. And it was a tough love where they were able to establish respect with him and establish trust with him. And that's not what the Browns have done or have got. You know, I think in addition to maybe not having people who are as tough on him, and maybe because he is being seen as being a little more fragile, he's not making the progress he was when he was in Houston. And then you see like some other things they do, like not bringing Joe Flacco back and firing Alex Van Pelt. I mean, the message that's getting sent to him is, well, this isn't your fault. We're going to fix everything around you.
So real quick, it goes back to, did Alex Van Pelt say something that people were uncomfortable hearing?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised.
Why do we need to take away power from a coaching staff that we thought was pretty good, doing pretty good? Like, I'm questioning. Why do we need to take away power from a coaching staff we thought was pretty good and hand the power over to the guy who got hurt last year? Why? Why can't he help? Why can't he be helped?
I mean, maybe there was a difference of opinion. I mean, maybe the organization and whoever is making those decisions, I would have thought it was Andrew Berry. I know some people think it's Paulie D out there on the West Coast. Maybe they didn't like the way that the coach was operating. Maybe they thought it wasn't because of him that they had that success.
Man, as much as things change, they stay the same.
You have 2 seconds, and only 2 seconds to win. This is 2 Second Trivia.
It is time for 2 Second Trivia and your chance to win a 4-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero Tone. Are you ready to be the proctor?
Oh, it's a big one today, Kenny. We just had baseball wrap up. We had the Browns recently wrap up. Ooh. And now we've got the NBA getting started.
Tonight, the orange and blue deliver.
Oh, round ball. Huh?
Yeah.
Hardworking town, hardworking team, though they're in Toronto. Is Toronto a hardworking town?
I imagine so.
Are they blue collar up there?
I would imagine they've got a lot of that.
Denim collar up there.
That's a good question.
That's not 2 Second Trivia.
Nat Bodia seemed to be a hard worker.
You have, hustled his ass off. The car dealerships, the car dealerships, and all the other things. Yeah, hope he's doing well. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. All right, 216-474-0092. Your chance to win a 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals. You got to get 2 questions right in 2 seconds each. Dan in Cleveland, home of the John Marshall Lawyers. You're first up on 2 Second Trivia. Dan is ready. Lima, take it away.
All right, here we go. Who pitched the most innings in the MLB playoffs for the Guardians this year?
Sorry, friend. I don't know. It's not the right answer.
That wasn't what I was thinking.
Ron and Medina, home of the Buckeye Bucks. Ron, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lima, take it away.
Who led the Guardians in playoff RBIs this year with 9?
5.
Good guess, but no. George in Cleveland, home of the East Tech Scarabs. George, you ready?
Yep.
Lima, take it away.
George, the Cavaliers take on the Toronto Raptors tonight. Can you name a current Toronto Raptor?
Scotty Barnes.
Yes!
Ladies and gentlemen, George is in the barn.
In the barn.
Here we go.
George, are you ready for your chance to win the family 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals?
Let's do it.
Lima, take it away.
All right, the Dodgers are in the World Series. First pitch tonight. Is it tonight?
Friday.
They wait till Friday?
Yeah. Because, we could have had a 7-game series. We had a 5-game series.
My God. Yeah. Get on with it. Anyway.
They get on the train like in 1919. There you go. The brass rails. The whole deal.
Best of 9.
Which 2 teams did the Dodgers beat to get to the World Series in the playoffs?
Sorry.
Neither were named
We're big in Medina, apparently. Dean in Medina, home of the Bees.
Dean,
ready?
Let's go.
Tone, take it away.
The Dean of Medina Sports Talk callers. Which active Browns player leads the team in yards from scrimmage this year?
Tim Couch.
And then Dean was like, I don't know what he's doing batting cleanup. What is he doing batting cleanup? I don't know. Let me send a tweet to Ken in the morning. I don't know. Is that a pretty good impression?
I do like that.
Thank you.
Do like that. Now do politics.
No. Justin in Brunswick, home of the Blue Devils. Justin, you ready?
I'm ready.
Lima, take it away.
How many home runs did Giancarlo Stanton hit in the ALCS?
Three.
Close. Steven in Mayfield, home of the Wildcats. Lima, take it away.
Who won the WNBA title on Sunday night?
New York.
Will we give it?
Yeah.
Will we give it?
Yeah. Yes. Well, excuse me. It's not my call.
We'll give it.
All right.
I'm yelling over there, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven is in the barn. Steven, are you ready for your chance to win?
Let's go.
All right. Better make sure that phone connection's ready. Lima, turn away.
Which Guardians batter led the team with 13 strikeouts in the playoffs?
Sorry.
It could have been so many of them.
Troy in 13. Cleveland, home of the Collinwood Railroaders. Troy, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Lima, take it away.
How many games did the Cavs win in the preseason?
Zero.
Yes!
Troy is in the barn.
All right.
Troy, you ready?
Let's go.
Lima, take it away.
Who leads the Browns in receiving yards with 266 this year?
David Njoku.
Wrong.
Missed like three games.
Garrett in Akron, home of the East Dragons. That's Dragons now.
Yes, that's right. Be careful.
Garrett, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Lima, take it away.
Which famous father-son duo attended LeBron and Bronny's historic night last night?
Ken Griffey, Jr.
Got it. All right, here we go.
All right. Your chance to win, Lima. Take it away.
As referenced earlier in the show, who won last year's NBA Finals MVP?
Lightning round. Here we go. Jeff and Avon, home of the Eagles. Lima, take it away.
Who manages the Dodgers?
Dave Roberts.
Yes.
Jeff is in the barn. Lima, take it away.
Which active Browns player leads the team in yards from scrimmage?
Deshaun Watson.
Ray in Akron, home of the North Vikings. Lima, take it away.
Where did Ken and his truck take my unwanted furniture when he helped move me from Tremont?
P. Diddy's house.
Yes! Yes! Oh, you can't give him that? That was the next stop. That wasn't the first stop.
Furniture, not oil.
Kevin in Twinsburg, home of the Tigers. Lima, take it away.
Who was the Cavs' first-round pick at number 20 overall this season?
Jalen Tyson.
Yes!
He's in the barn. For your chance to win it, Lima, take it away.
Name a Cleveland Cavaliers broadcaster.
Fred McLeod.
We'll give it to him.
Give it to him. Give it to him.
He has broadcasted games for free.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
All right. Kevin, congratulations.
If you would have said current.
Thank you.
Yeah. Kevin, congratulations. You win the 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals. Try Mr. Hero's new chicken. Let me put him on hold here. There we go. Try Mr. Hero's new chicken and bacon waffle doodle made with authentic Belgian waffles, breaded chicken, bacon, and more. Available in store and online at MrHero.com.